Thank you. difficulties come, Lord, we know it's to grow us. When the difficulties come, Lord, we know you're building our character. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your provision. We thank you, Lord, for your healing. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your guidance in our lives. Oh God, we love you. We love you. We love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh God, oh God. Oh God, oh God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I somebody and you hear them, you hear their praises to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for my children. Draw them, Lord, to you. Thank you, Lord, for their salvation. You know, they're speaking it. They're speaking that faith. It just wells up within us, our faith. It causes us to know why we join together in one accord, worshiping the Lord, bringing unity to this community, and not only praying for our community, reaching out to our community, but being a light. Recently, we went to the Dead Sea, and we were noticing the pillars of hard salt, just hardened salt. And we were talking about how the Bible says we're the salt. And, you know, how many of y'all put salt in your collards this week? Yeah. And a little bit of salt meat or smoked meat? Yes, yes. Why? Why? You didn't want them unseasoned. You didn't want them bitter. You didn't want them boring, and you didn't want them just to taste like green, you know? You seasoned those things. You stirred those things in, and you let that pot boil. Well, you know what? We need to get into our community with our saltiness, not in the world's word of that, in our word of that, Christian saltiness. And we need to get beside that person. We need to let our little salt season them. Let our conversation, as they hear it, say, wow, she is positive all the time. Well, not all the time, but most of the time. She is speaking faith. She's speaking positive things over her family. Don't she know this is going on in her family? Yes, she knows. But she's speaking faithfully to the Lord. God, I know your faithfulness. I know your goodness. And I'm speaking that. So when you're in that workforce, you're that salt. Rub shoulders. Let them hear you pray. Let them hear you say in the middle of the day, Lord, I am so tired, but you're going to get me through today. God, I have messed up this spreadsheet, but you're going to help me know how to fix it. You're going to give me the strength to get it cleared today. As they hear those things, it's a testimony. It's a testimony of your faith. And it's just a little saltiness out there in the world. The good kind of saltiness. We assume so many things and we take for granted so many things. But during the Thanksgiving holidays, it brings us back to the reality. We need to give thanks for what God's given us. Not just the physical, material things that we can lay eyes on, but the healings, the provision of a job, the strength of our children, the blessings of our grandchildren. And we also need to be that salt, you know? And we need to rub shoulders with those in the community, our neighbors, our coworkers, our kids' friends. And we need to begin speaking those things so that we'll be that testimony for the Lord. And you know what happens? If you lay something beside salt, it gets a little salty, gets a little bit on it. And the next thing you know, your coworker may say, "Can you pray with me today? I'm just having a bad day." And then the next thing you know, she'll be over there at her computer praying too. Because it's the salt of the Lord as we testify, as we minister, as we live for Jesus on a daily basis. It's really simple. We take it for granted, but we shouldn't. We should realize the potential that God has given us. Amen. Amen. It's so good to see you today. I could talk all morning. I feel like I'm with my friends. I'm with my family, right? Amen. Amen. You may be seated at this time. And ladies, I want to remind you of our women's gala that's coming up December the 3rd at 6 p.m. Women, we have a pile of hostesses ready to host their tables. When you come in that evening, you will see an array of tables with every one of them decorated differently. Every set of plates will be different. Every decor in the middle will be different. The lights will be twinkling. The food will be smelling. The men will be dressed up and they will be serving us. So women, don't forget to purchase your tickets today if at all possible. We don't want anyone to go without a ticket. We have limited spacing this year. Limited tables, so we want to make sure that they're full, but we also want to make sure that you don't miss out on this opportunity. The tickets are $20. Where are you going to go in a Husky? For a meal with men waiters in dark pants and white tops and bow ties that's going to serve you? Where are you going to get that in a Husky? Where are you going to get that in a Husky where you come into a place that the Spirit of the Lord is already there? Because women are praying over this event. They're seeking the Lord for this event. Good conversation at the table. Learning new people. Experiencing what God has placed into Monica Carlisle, our special guest that evening. We're going to have music. We're going to have instruments. We're going to have dance. We're going to celebrate Christmas. So how many are not in the spirit of Christmas yet? Anybody not in the spirit of Christmas? Pastor took me to Hobby Lobby yesterday. That was our let's get in the spirit of Christmas. We haven't even seen anybody's Christmas trees. Guess what? They had two Christmas trees available. Two, a little one and a gigormous one, and that's all they had. They were all bought out. But they had lots of lights, lots of ornaments, lots of decor. So when you walk into that December the 3rd, ladies, you're going to feel special. You're going to feel loved, and God has a message for you. Monica Carlisle is excited about sharing with our ladies that evening. We have some really trained men that are going to be serving us, and I am excited about that. They know what women like. I'm looking at the men that are serving, and y'all are just smiling from ear to ear. We wives have trained them well. So get your tickets today. There's so many opportunities that are coming up in December. So make sure that if you're not a Facebook friend of Carpenter Shop International Church, that you friend us now so you'll know exactly what's going on. At this time, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. And this is a way of worship as well.
Just so you'll know, Pastor Joy don't know nothing about salty collards because she didn't fix them. All right. Just so you'll know. I mean, I'm just saying, okay? Oh, she's coming back, y'all. Come on, baby.
I taught him everything he knows That's about right. cooking. We burned up two sets of pots while I was teaching him.
Right. All right, she won up to me, y'all, okay? This smart guy knows when to quit. Well, how many of y'all had a wonderful Thanksgiving? Come on. Amen. Amen. We did. We had a great time just being at the house. You know, Pastor Joy asked me yesterday after the Hobby Lobby experience. She asked me, what do you like about Christmas? And I just gave an honest answer. And she said, no, what do you like about Christmas? Because I just said, I just like it is right now. I'm in my house with you, and we don't have anything to do. Okay? Come on, smart answer, right? Smart answer. I just like being with you. That's it. And, you know, the older I get, 61, the older I get, the more I cherish and love family. There's nothing like family. I rejoice not only with my family, but I rejoice with your family. And when I see the pictures, that's what I love about social media. You know, I see the shepherds throw their little boy Jackson up there. Man, what a beautiful kid. I mean, he must have picked it up on the way down the line, Gunner. I don't know where he got that from. No, he's a beautiful child. But you know what? You look at all the kids and you look at all the grandkids, and my heart just rejoices because that's really the essence of life and living right there. Just, you know, just family. And there's so many people that miss that. Amen. There's so many people that miss that. Amen. You know, loved ones are gone. You've stood beside their graves, you gave them a homegoing, and some of your most cherished family members are now on the other side. And that's where we're going, you know. We live our lives faithfully to the end. That's where we're going. But I just value spending time with family. You know, I'm trying to correct some things that happened along the way in my family that I was not the instigator. I mentioned one of those in last Sunday's message, how a 71-year-old man named Johnny and myself just said, hey, we're going to draw the line, and you and I are going to start to build relationship. You know, I couldn't help my grandfather left when my mom was five, left five small kids, stayed away 69 years, got saved listening to a Jerry Falwell broadcast, old time gospel hour. Highway patrolman pulls him over, think he was drinking, but he just was intoxicated by the Holy Spirit. He said, "Sir, I'm not drinking. I just received Christ riding down the road, and my heart was so full." And he said, "I understand why you're pulling me. I walked the line for you, but I've not been drinking." And his life was radically changed, and he made every effort that he could to go back and correct the past. And so I stood in my grandfather's presence three times before he passed away. And 74 years old. And he had a family, you know, but he just was separated from them. Can I just encourage you, don't be separated from your family. "Well, you don't know how my daughter treats me." I don't care how she treats you. I really don't. You take the initiative to do what you can to love her unconditionally. "Well, she don't have any respect for us." You know, it doesn't matter. You make the move, and you be the salt, and you watch God change circumstances. He can do it. So, you know, I got a couple of little things I'm working on involving family issues that just kind of went south over the years. Anybody else? Anybody else got some stuff that just went south? It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. But you know what? You need to get it right to the best of your ability before you leave planet Earth. Amen. And do the best that you can to correct some things. And I know what some of you are thinking. "Man, you just don't know how much I've loved, and all I do is get a slap in the face." I get that. But you're only responsible for your actions. Amen. Let's pray together. We're going to jump into the Word here in a moment. Y'all ready for the Bible today? Amen. Amen. So, Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for just collective worship here. Thank you, God, that you have called us to this place, God, to worship you today. We lay aside our attitudes. We lay aside our feelings. We lay aside, God, all the things that we could have brought here with us, because today it's about you. It's not about us. And so we worship you. I pray, Lord, that you would honor your word today. I pray that you would deposit a simple truth into our spirit that would shape us and mold us and make us to the person that you have called us to be. Lord, this is a wicked world, and people need Jesus. And so help us, God, in this season of our lives to be more effective in sharing your love. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Today is the beginning of a series that will take us up to Christmas. I'm a series preacher, so I'm already working on 23 and what God is saying to us in the year 23. Going to be some things of challenge this coming year. Let me go ahead and encourage you to be ready for that. Some issues of challenge, some subjects of challenge. But you know, you say, "Pastor, how do you know that?" Because I've been praying about 23. I've been praying about 2023. God, what are you saying to me as a leader? What are you speaking to me about as a leader? And so it's my job to transfer that to you. That's what a pastor is. He preaches the Bible. You know, I can get up here and stomp and snort and holler and wave a handkerchief, and it's not going to change your life. Okay? We got our quota of Sharpies in the ministry. Okay? So you need a word from the Lord. You need a word from the Lord. And so my job is to be committed to that. And my job is to keep the unity of faith and the bond of peace in God's house. And so that's what I'm asking God to help me do. Today is the beginning of this series on Advent. Advent is a word that you don't use. Okay? You don't talk about Advent, but Advent means coming. Advent means expecting. Advent is a word that means arrival, okay? The only time you've been worried about arrival is when you're waiting at the airport for somebody that's been gone for a while, or maybe you got a daughter-in-law in the labor room. You know, you don't worry about arrivals really a whole lot, because your life is kind of, you know, it's habitual. You do the same thing every day of your life, most of you. And you do the same thing every week of your life. You work, you have a routine, and those things keep you focused. But then there's those things that just are standouts, arrivals. Arrival of what? We're talking about the arrival of Christ, okay? Now, just let me let you know, he wasn't born December 25th, okay? All right? Don't get too excited about that. You know, pastor said he wasn't born the 25th. He wasn't. This is a date that has been set by the church where we celebrate his birth on December 25th, okay? So he wasn't born on the 25th of December. And it wasn't kind of like our children have done it all these years with hay and wooden little barns, you know, and towels around the head. You know, it wasn't like that, okay? But we just do those things to help us do what? Help us remember, help us celebrate, okay? And so we're going to go through some of those things in the next few weeks as we move toward Christmas program, because they do shake us into reality. Today is the week of hope. In the history of the church, there's been an effort to set some sort of symbolism behind expecting Christmas to soon be here. You know, people do it on Facebook. There's only 29 days left yesterday. You know, there was only 29 days left for Christmas. What are they doing? They're counting down, okay? They're expecting the celebration of the arrival of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's all a wonderful thing. So today, we light the first candle, and it's the candle that we call the candle of hope. Somebody say hope. We have four beautiful candles here, and today we light the candle of hope. This all started in Germany. Thank you, Logan. This all started in Germany. And a pastor just took it upon himself. They would use an old wheel, and they would set up candles. And the pastor was simply doing one thing. He was trying to teach the kids that were under his instruction, there's only so many days left before Christ's birthday. And they were counting down. They were experiencing Advent. And so this thing has evolved over the course of time. This happened back in the 1800s. And it's evolved into today. You have an arrangement setting in front of you with candles that are counting down the time frame. Every week we'll light one. Every candle has a meaning. Today is the candle of hope. You know, have you ever been in a situation where your hope was dim? I mean, have you ever been in a situation where you felt like super squeezed on something? Like it didn't look like it was going to turn out well for you. How many of y'all been to jail before? Anybody been to jail? Amen. Look at that. A lot of what happened? What's wrong with you folks? Okay. No. How many of you been arrested before? Come on, raise your hand. You've been arrested. Look at that. You know? How many of you deserve to be arrested but didn't get arrested? Okay. Look at that. Okay. I love you guys. I love that. You know, I love that. You just made the other few mad, man. It was like, why didn't he get busted? You know, I did. You know, many times, I deserve to be arrested many times, and I've done wrong things, you know. My brother asked me one day, he said, you say that, but what did you do? I said, man, I wouldn't tell you today for nothing, okay? I could roll the tape of my life back, and I've done some things that deserved to be arrested. I've done some things that were wrong. I've done some things that were just out of character. And so, you know, somehow or another, I slid through, and I didn't get arrested, okay? Many times, man, I woke up in my bed in the morning looking at the ceiling light and not knowing what had transpired the hours beforehand. I had no idea who put me in the bed. I've peeped out the door many times to see if my truck was in the driveway, and it was. And I didn't know how I got there. I just lost memory. That's a dangerous place to be. People are saying now every day, man, you can't even go shopping. Do you know that these people that are doing these things are demonized? You say, how could anybody do that? It's easy. Friends, it's easy. They are not in the right frame of mind and spirit. So it's quite easy for them to, you know, to watch all the TV that they watch and see all the crime. We've entertained ourselves with crime for years. You know, nothing like a good crime story, you know. We've entertained ourselves with crime for years. And so the enemy has, you know, has caused some people to bring back to remembrance things that they could do, you know, gun people down. The gentleman that did this in Chesapeake didn't even buy the gun until that morning. He bought it legally. Okay? And so this is what happens. demonized behavior. The air is filled with power, and not all that power is good. Okay, that's why it's important for you to be careful what you listen to. That's why it's important for you to be careful what you watch. You know, some of y'all watch stuff at home on TV. You know you shouldn't be watching it. But you watch it and you get this download in your head. And then you got all the words going on and your children are in the other room and they hear some of that stuff. And they're getting a download too. And then your subconscious takes over. You know, how does this stuff happen? It's not really complicated. The enemy uses things that have been deposited in the minds of people. And he brings those things back to remembrance, and people act out things. And then you get copycat behavior. You got a shooting here, shooting there, shooting over yonder, okay? And it's a terrible world we live in. You know what? It's not going to get any better unless you do as Pastor Joy said. Start being the salt that God's called you to be. If you can't do anything but infect or affect one life, then by all means affect one life, okay? You know, the guy that did the shooting this week, he was somebody's coworker. He was somebody's supervisor. He was somebody's colleague at work. You got colleagues at work. Never expected him to do that. You got people you never expect to do things. So we're subject to a very difficult circumstance where people are involved. And anytime people are involved, man, you're subject to anything happening. That's why it's important for us to understand that this hope that we have is for everyone. Everyone's looking for hope. Everyone's looking for hope. It's that time of year, the Christmas season. We're moving toward this whole idea of Christ is born. And so I want to just begin by just answering a few questions. First of all, what is hope? Hope is simply defined as a feeling of expectation, a desire for a certain thing to happen. You have this internal desire for a certain thing to happen. Hope is universal. All of us hope. There's not a single person in the world that doesn't have a familiarity with hope. You can relate to hope. Remember when you were 16? Remember when you were 15? And you're counting down the days. You got your own little Advent thing going on. You know, 15 more days, I get my license. 14 more days, you just can't wait, because that's a mark that is made on American kids that you get your license when you're 16. Your hope was to get your driver's license, and then the next hope that you have is what? You're going to have something to drive, okay? You're going to have something to drive. You know, and when you get into college, your hope was to get to your senior year and walk that line. Da, 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 da. You just want to walk that line, because if you get to walk that line, then you get to get a job. Come on, somebody. You get to get a job. And if you get to get a job, you get to make you some jingle, okay? You get to make some jingle. Not in my wallet. It's there where I can get my hand on it real quick like a gun. All right? You want to make some money. You want to have some money in your pocket. That's the hope of everyone. Why do you need money? So I can buy stuff. Okay? That's hope, right? I just hope. I'm expecting something to happen. Then after we graduate from college, we get a good, you know, job that pays, and then we want to do what? Get married and have children. That's what we want, right? Okay? We just have these expectations, these hopes. But here's the reality. Number three, hope varies with every person. So one person's hope may not be another person's hope. Hope is different for everybody. Just recently, I received a call from a man who was hopeless. I remember his voice. He was homeless. He was jobless. He was penniless. And someone gave him my number. He said he didn't have anybody left. Okay? That means there are some relationships that had been somewhat absolved. They've been severed. I don't have anybody left. Some relationships have been damaged. We talked about that a moment ago. And he said, somebody told me that you would help. Okay? Well, sounds like I got a reputation out there, right? Well, guess what? I don't have any extra houses for him to live in. Okay? Well, you got the Barnabas house. It's full all the time. I'm not trying to hire anyone. I don't need anybody to come to work. And I'm like most people in this room. I'm thankful that I can pay all my bills, okay? I mean, I'm paying all my bills. I'm thankful that I can do that. But I really don't have what you would call an abundance over here on the side that I'm just willing just to toss out, okay? And when it comes to family, we're all the same. It's a full-time job just taking care of the ones that you call your family. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just pay the bills, make sure we got food, clothes, and, you know, we're off to school, that kind of thing. So I listened to him. I listened to him closely. And I told him in the midst of my conversation with him, listen, man, I just want to tell you, God loves you. He hasn't forgotten you. And I just stopped. God loves you, man. Now, he's not having his mind on God's love right now. He's thinking that I might be an answer of resource for him. I offered him the best counsel that I could give at the time. And I said to him, I said, have you got something you can jot down? He said, yeah. I said, I want you to take a moment, and I want you to jot down five names of people that you're the closest to. Because you don't know me, but you called me. You called me because somebody said, I know a man can help you. I said, and I'm going to help you. I've already told you God loves you. That's help. Now I'm telling you that you need to concentrate on five individuals that you feel at least a level of close emotional proximity to. In other words, you got, you know, James Dobson says you'll live your entire life. You can count all your close friends on one hand and don't need all the fingers. You know what I'm talking about? So really, you know, we all have a lot of acquaintances, but we really don't have people that's super up close, real, genuine friendship. But I said, you know you got some people like that in your life. He said, yeah, I do. I said, you say that disappointingly. Tell me about that. I'm listening to him. He said, well, I don't really know how to say it. I said, I think I have the answer. I said, you've done some things that have hurt those relationships, haven't you? He said, yeah, I guess so. Okay? So, but you still feel a sense of closeness. What would be wrong with you going back and saying, listen, I know I haven't always handled this the best way, but can I just say to you, I love you, and I'm sorry for the way that I've disappointed you. And I said, what I'm getting you to do is try to repair, try to mend, try to fix some emotional things that have taken place in your relationships. He said, yeah, I can do that. And I said, I know I'm giving you kind of a long assignment here, but here's the deal. Those are the people that are most likely willing to help you in what you say is the worst time of your life. You don't have a job, no hopes of one, no place to live, no place to go. And I said, so, but you need to start with some of those people that you're closest to. Because I said, you know, if I had the ability, I could put somebody in a house every day of my life. But that's not possible. Okay? That's not possible. So I'm just giving you the truth, and it all relates to the hope that you have. Are y'all following me in this story? It all relates to the hope that you have. Listen, giving him a check or even giving him a $100 bill or a 50 or whatever wouldn't have solved his problem. It wouldn't have. It would not have solved his problem. He has a deeper problem than another meal. I have people all the time, hey, you know, we don't have anywhere to go. Could you just give us a night in the hotel? And I'd say, no, I can't do that. Why not? I mean, y'all are at church. Somebody told me you'd help me. I said, if I put you in the hotel right now, Ramada Inn, Ahoskie Inn, wherever you go, okay? I said, if I put you in a hotel right now, guess what's going to happen? The sun's going to go down, and the sun's going to rise, and it's another day. And at 10 o'clock, you know what you got to do? You got to check out. So I'm not solving your problem at all. you got a deeper issue, and it's bigger than a night in a hotel. Okay? But I've been sleeping. Doesn't matter. One night in a hotel is not going to change that. So I'm not going to waste kingdom dollars on a hotel. And people have a hard time receiving that, especially when it's cold or raining or whatever. But the issue is they've lost hope. And so I just very honestly said to this man, I give you hope. Your hope is found in God. Your hope is found in a relationship with God. And you come to God through his son. His name is Jesus. And he died on the cross for you. He shed his blood for you. He's your only hope. Everybody's looking for hope. Fourthly, hope, true hope has limitations. At the end of the day, Christ is the only hope for everything. Matthew 6, 33. I've given this verse to thousands of people in my life. Matthew 6, 33 says this, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." What does that mean? His right standing that he provides for you. Seek first relationship with the one who created you, and everything else will take care of itself. That's my translation. If you put Christ first, the rest of the things are going to line up. Okay? If you put Christ first in your life, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right standing with you, and all these things. You see, we got righteousness down as rules. Okay, that's not what that is. Seek first the kingdom. That's the basileia. That's the domain of God's power. Seek first the domain of God's power and your right standing with him. I'm giving you the verse here. This is an exposition of that verse. Seek first the kingdom of God, the rulership of God, and his right standing with you, and everything else will be given to you as well. Your hamburgers, your fries, your shoes, your wife, your kids. If you get it right with God, God will make sure everything is right with you. I mean, this is simple. Because listen, the kingdom of God is not based on hamburgers, okay? The kingdom of God is what? It's not meat. The kingdom of God is not drink, okay? The kingdom of God is righteousness. What is that word again? I just taught you right standing with God. The kingdom of God is right standing with God between me and him. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, right standing with him. It's peace with him, and it's the joy that truly comes from what? From right standing. Man, this is so easy. This is studying the Bible out loud. That's all it is. All I'm doing is sitting here sharing with you what I would say if I was reading these verses. Okay? The kingdom of God is all about right standing with God and relationship with him. You have to seek Jesus above everything. Paul said this in Romans 14. We just read it. Jesus said you seek first his kingdom. Paul said that his kingdom was not a matter of the meat and the drink and all these other things. That's what this season points to. This season, this Christmas season. You know, who would have ever thought $5.2 billion could come out of American pockets on Black Friday? $5.2 billion on Black Friday. How much did you spend on Black Friday? I didn't buy a thing. I didn't go shopping. Okay? What were you doing on Black Friday? I was doing what I told you I was doing. I was sitting at home, okay? Hey, I just enjoy being at home. I thought you went to Hobby Lobby. That was a spur of the moment thing at 5:30. That was yesterday. That wasn't Black Friday. That was Super Saturday. That was Small Business Saturday. And I had a good time when I went to Hobby Lobby. I put a Santa Claus hat on and said, "I saw that." Okay? I saw that. Some of you saw that on social media. But I'm not one of those persons who spent $5.2 billion or contributed to that on Friday. I was not one of the 163 million people who made a major online purchase on Black Friday. 163 million people. And you know, the sad thing is, a lot of them did it with a credit card. Welcome, January. Okay. Hello. Man, this is so-and-so from... Can you call me back tomorrow? Why? Because my wife don't know I charge that. It causes a lot of problems, guys. It causes a lot of problems. You don't need what you can't pay for. Okay? Do you got deeper problems? So, the kingdom of God is about right standing with God. And so the season is supposed to do what? Point us to Jesus. We're just a few Sundays away. Today's the day of what? Hope. We need to be reminded our hope is in Him. Our hope is not in a new car. Our hope is not in a new bike. Our hope is not in... You know, I grew up in a kind of a strange situation. I think I shared this with you before. When I grew up at Christmas, we got three gifts. And I guess I just figured it out one day. Jesus got three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we got three gifts. I mean, we would ask for lots of things, but we only got three things. And one of them was fairly large. I remember one year I got a cassette tape player. I got a cassette tape player for Christmas. And I knew it in November. Because I went upstairs and looked around. And I ran an extension cord up there, and I got a Loretta Lynn tape, okay? Coal miner's daughter, man. I mean, that's not what kids are into, but my parents made sure that I got the right tape because that's what they wanted to hear, maybe. I don't know why I got the tape. We grew up in a home that liked country music. So I remember when Mom and Dad left to go out of town one day, and I was at home, I ran an extension cord up there, and I opened it up carefully. And I played the tape, and I put it back in, wrapped it back up, and then brought the extension cord back down. I'm a smooth operator, guys. I really am. Okay? Any of y'all ever done similar stuff like that? Come on, confess your sins, for He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All right? But I got a cassette tape player. One year, I got a bicycle. We didn't get tons of stuff. We didn't. We didn't get tons of things for Christmas. It wasn't about that, okay? And that's not what Christmas is about. This season points to Jesus. This season points to Jesus, and that's what we're expecting. The reality of the Son of God has come into the world, and He brought us what? Hope. Jesus gives hope. That happened 2,000 years ago. God Almighty came down from the heavens and became one of us. Isaiah the prophet spoke these words, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, listen, it says very clearly, the people who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. Look at Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. He left the splendors of heaven. He was always existent, eternally existent. You can't put a starting date on Him. You can't. He's always existed. And John said it like this in chapter 1, it's verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. That word there is tabernacle. It's like pitching a tent. God came Himself from heaven and pitched a tent among earth where His creation was. He tabernacled among us. That's powerful. He pitched a tent and lived among His highest form of life. That is the marvel of Christmas. That is what makes grace so amazing. That is the hope in all of our lives. Jesus came. God came in the flesh. Jesus Christ was born. He was born, yet He was born for what reason? Born to die for the sins of the world. Even when Christ was facing that hour, John 12, verse 27, he records these words, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Jesus is doing the talking here. No, he says, "It was for this very reason I came to this hour." He was born to die for the sins of the world. And so we look forward to Christmas to be ever reminded of what our real hope is. That man that called me on the phone, he was desperate. Man, somebody told me you could help me. Listen, people call you and they say, "Hey, do you know anybody?" I don't know. Let me call my pastor. This happens to me all the time. Not complaining. That's what pastors are for. To help people. To offer people an option. To offer people hope. I get calls every week of my life still. I'm not in the church. I don't spend time here in the church. Because I have a cell phone and a laptop. Okay? My office is everywhere. And I get calls every day of my life. And it doesn't bother me. Hey, somebody told me you might could help. Maybe I can. What you got? And I get to talk to people. Okay? The man that called me was desperate. Somebody told me you could help me. You know what I said to him? I can. I may not give you what you're looking for. Now, I've been able to be the person who's been the mediator between many blessings being passed through. Somebody recently in our church just gave somebody a car. Okay, "Pastor, we don't need the car. Do you know anybody that does need a car?" I said, "Sure, I know plenty of people that need a car." And I just gave the car away, okay? I made sure that the car was in great shape before we released it, okay? It needed a little bit of work done to it. We got the work done, and then we gave the car away to a person that wasn't asking for it, okay? Any of y'all ever been given a car? I have. Somebody gave me a car sitting right on the front row here one Sunday morning. They came into the front aisle in tears. And they said, "Pastor, hold out your hand." And I said, "What?" And I held out my hand. And they said, "Here." And they dropped keys in my hand. I said, "What's that for?" They said, "It's a car. The Lord told me to give it to you." I said, "Okay." Guess what I did? I gave it to somebody else. I didn't need the car. But that person evidently knew that I would give the car away. So I gave it away. I've been given land. Okay, "But you're a preacher." No, I'm a Christian. Okay, I've been given land twice, free and clear. I got a piece of property right now that was given to me just a couple of years ago. I've only even been down there and looked at it once. Okay, I saw it. I know where it's at. The deed came to my house. They took care of all the attorney work, and the property was given to me. And the property has a purpose. I just haven't discovered yet what the purpose is. But I'm not going to foolishly waste it. The property is staring, right staring face into the Albemarle Sound. It's a nice piece of property. I don't need it. I don't know why it was given to me, but I took it. Okay? So there are people that can bless. Some of you may be sitting here this morning. You may say, "Well, man, I need a car. I need a place to live." Can I just tell you that the God that you serve is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask, think, or imagine? He can lay it on the heart of one person to give to you. I know a person in this church, I won't call their name, but I know a person in this church, I've been to their home, they have a nice home, and their home was given to them absolutely cost-free. The deed is signed over to you, it's in your name, the house is yours. They rejoice. Last night, Pastor Joe and I were watching TV that everybody watches this time of year. Somebody say Hallmark. Okay. They all end the same, don't they? I mean, the guy's getting on the boat. He's leaving. He's told her, "I don't want to be with you." And then all of a sudden, the boat turns around and he says, "I want to be with you," okay? That's Hallmark, okay? You know, they always end really good. And some of you are sitting here today thinking, "You know what? I don't know if stuff like that could ever happen to me if somebody could give me a place." if somebody could give me a car. Can I just tell you it can? It can. You can have hope that God knows where you are, okay? All right? God knows where you are. Pastor Joy and I make provision for somebody. Let me say this carefully. We make provision for somebody's living that we're able to do it, so we make sure that this couple has a place to live. Because we have a place and we're not living there. So we make provision for somebody else to live there. We are somebody's hope. And that can be duplicated over and over and over and over again. Because God is a God of hope. And he plants that in the hearts of his children. Okay? Don't you just love to give? Don't you love to receive? Amen? I love to give and I love to receive. And every time I give, I realize that what I'm giving is just a little slice of hope for somebody else. Okay? Just a little slice of hope. Every time you give, you say, well, man, I ain't giving you no more gift cards. You got a piece of land you don't even use. And somebody, no. I promise you, whatever you give me, you know what you're doing? You're sowing it on good ground, because I'm a giving person. I like to give. And I like coffee. Amen. You know what, Pastor Joy and I, just three Sundays ago, we gathered here and you celebrated 30 years of us being your pastor. I can't tell you how much fun it was riding down the road. I'm driving, she's reading. She read every card. Dear pastor, just wanted to let you know, here's a little something just to say thank you. I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to know how that makes Joy and I feel. We rode to Raleigh to head to the airport after we left that service that day to go to Israel. And literally tears coming down our face. Look at that. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? You were expressing your love to us. And you know what it deposits inside of us? Hope. Hope. That trusting him is worth it. Trusting him is worth it. Some of you may be sitting here this morning and you may need some hope, okay? I'm telling you, at the end of the service today, we'll give you an opportunity to receive the greatest hope that you've ever had in your life, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the greatest hope. He's the greatest hope. Sometimes hope is deferred. What happens when your hope is deferred? Well, I've been believing and I've been trusting. Hope deferred makes the heart what? Makes the heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is the tree of life. You just keep on hoping and you just keep on believing and you activate that faith, and I promise you, God will not fail you. Wherein lies your hope? What are you really hoping for? Or better yet, where do you place your hope? Number six, hope is something that needs to be properly directed. Isaiah 40, 29, 31. Isaiah prophesied this. He gives strength to the weary. He gives power to the weak. Even youths grow weary and tired and weary. And young men stumble and fall. Verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord find what? Strength renewed. Strength renewed. Those who hope in the Lord. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The question must be asked of all of us today, where are we placing our hope? Isaiah prophesied this years and years ago, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. This literally defines the message and the meaning of Christmas. This right here defines the message and the meaning of Christmas, that God is our only hope. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. And he'll be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Isaiah prophesied he was wonderful. He did many miracles, the scripture says. In Luke 11, verse 14, it says, and the people were in wonder. They were amazed at what Jesus did. I'm amazed at what Jesus does today. I'm amazed that he still heals. We just sang the song a moment ago. He's the same God. The God that healed back then still heals today. He's the same God. He did many wonderful things, Luke 11, 14. He's Counselor. The Jewish officials said about him in John chapter 7, verse 46, no one ever spoke like this man. They had never heard anybody speak like this man, Jesus. He's Mighty God. He's the God-man. He taught us that he and the Father were one. John 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's Everlasting Father. It was by him, the living word, that all things were created. He's the designer of the entire universe. Man, I stood in Israel just a couple of weeks ago, and one of my favorite spots up on top of a hill where Jeremiah the prophet was from, standing and looking over the hill at a huge, basically a convent where monks stayed, a monastery, looking at the side of the mountain. All the beauty and all the majesty. I said, God, I can't believe this, that there are people that are spending their lives here preparing themselves for the destiny on their life in ministry. May not be the same way I did it, but they think they're doing the right thing. So, hey, bless them. But it was a magnificent structure carved out of the side of a mountain. Magnificent. And I think about all the beauty and the majesty that God has created. He is a mighty God. And everything that was made through him, John 1, 3. And then he says he's the Prince of Peace. There will never be lasting peace on the earth until he comes again to reign. Never. The world is in turmoil. And you know what? There's been wars and rumors of wars, but we hadn't got to the big war yet. But it's going to take place one day. Zechariah chapter 14 says Jesus Christ is going to come. It's going to be at the end of what we know as the 7 years of tribulation. But at the end of that 7 years of tribulation, can you imagine what will happen when Christ comes and snatches the church away? It's called the rapture. He's going to take the righteousness, think about this, the right standing with God. Jesus is going to come and snatch the righteousness from the earth. Think about it. I mean, we're very few right now. But he's going to take all the righteousness in the earth away. And then 7 years, tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, 7 years of hard, you ain't seen nothing yet, mama. 7 years without righteousness on the earth. And at the end of that 7 years, Zechariah 14 prophesied this. He will come and he'll set his foot down on the Mount of Olives. And when he does, there's a split. The earth splits into the Kidron Valley. Water gushes and fills up the Dead Sea with life. And Jesus is going to walk the same tracks that he walked when the last time he walked them, he had the cross. He's going to walk the Via Dolorosa one more time and make his way right up to the Holy Temple. He's going to come again. Then and only then. Listen, that signals the beginning of what? Man, there's war now. Okay? Pastor Mike and I and others stood on that place. Brian, you stood there, and we looked across that huge, 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 huge stretch of land called the Valley of Megiddo. the greatest war of all time will be fought. And Jesus Christ is the winner, okay? And he's going to establish, he's going to rule and reign forever. Man, I'm going to tell you something. We are watching the world unfold in front of our eyes. And you and I need to be ready to meet the Lord. It could happen at any moment. Listen, if you can't serve God now while righteousness is on the earth, what makes you think you're going to be able to make it through the tribulation? Can a person get saved during the tribulation? Can a person who misses the rapture still make it? Yeah, you can. So how are you going to make it? Just like that. You're going to die because you reject the beast, the image of the beast. You reject the Antichrist's schemes and refuse to take his mark. That's the only way you'll ever make it. You're not going to feed your family. You're not going to feed your kids. You're not going. You don't get anything unless you take his mark. And so you die. You do what Christ already did for you. Okay? So why would you wait? Why would you push that off and say, well, you know, I'll just wait? No. The time is now. Time is now. Salvation belongs to you now. If you can't live for God now, don't ever think that you're going to live for him during tribulation. That's the hope that we have. The candle burns today signifies hope. Our hope is Jesus. Are you here today and you say, Pastor, I know there's some things that are just out of line in my life and I need to get some things straight. Every head bowed, please. If you would, just raise your hand. Pastor, there's some things I need. I need to make certain today that all is well with my soul. I want to receive the hope of Christ today. Are you here? Just slip your hand up quickly and put it back down. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? God bless you. God bless you. Is there another? I just need the hope of Christ today. I just need the hope of Christ today. I want to make sure it's right. Anyone, God bless you. God bless you. Just want to know because I know because I know. God bless you. Can we stand together as we come to a close today? Somebody told me you could help me. I can. Your hope is in Christ. You don't need a motel. You don't need just another meal. You need peace and right standing with God. He's the Prince of Peace. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for hope that comes from you. Today we burn the flame of candle one that declares your hope. And Lord, we thank you for the hope that we've received, those of us that are Christians, those of us that are born again, those of us that are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for the hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Lord, for sure, all other ground is sinking sand. We stand on you. You are our hope. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask my prayer team here, ministers, if you would just come. Just come and stand ready to minister to people. And those of you that lifted up your hands, there were two or three of you, just come on, step out of your seat and just come and pray with someone. Just pray with someone. Just come on, step out of your seat. You raised your hand. Let's just believe God together. Amen. Not here to embarrass you, just here to pray with you and bless you today. Hope that is found in Christ alone. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it today. If you have a need today, Maybe you're struggling in your body. Maybe there's some physical things that are taking place, and you're just tired of the fight. Been to the doctor, heard the diagnosis, you've taken the medicines, but it just doesn't seem like things are changing. I have hope for you today. Jesus heals. Okay? Amen. Come on. Give the Lord praise today. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. Amen. Jesus heals. Are you struggling emotionally? Anybody here struggling emotionally? Man, I can't help it. My nerves are just a wreck. I'm stressed. I'm worried about the holidays. Come on, I got news for you. Jesus calms, okay? He calms storms. He calms storms. I'm going to say that one more time. I said, is there anybody here who's stressed? Why are y'all standing at me looking like a cow looking at a new gate? Okay? People are carrying stresses today. There you go. You're carrying stresses today that you don't need to be carrying. God bless you, dear. This is a hand of salvation today. Amen. Give the Lord praise today. Pray with this man right here. Salvation today belongs to our God and unto the Lamb. Just let somebody agree with you in prayer today that the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart. Here's where it happens. And your mind. Oh, man. Your mind is a battleground, Joyce Meyer said. Number one bestseller, New York Times. The battlefield of the mind. She's still teaching it. I listened to it just a couple weeks ago. I listened to it. I could listen to it again and again. The battlefield of the mind. I'm stressed. How about relationships? Are you challenged in relationships? Listen, your pastor just stood in the pulpit and said, I've got some screwed up relationships in my family. Come on, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? I've already disarmed the devil. I'd go, but then everybody know my family's all jacked up. We all know your family's jacked up. Okay? So I'm just asking you, do you want somebody to agree with you in prayer for that? Do you want somebody just to agree with you that you would be able to make a solid step towards seeing your family healed? Amen? Come on, just step out of your seat. You say, Pastor, why is this so important? It's important because we've offered you hope today, and I want to make sure that the Holy Spirit seals the deal, okay? He's going to seal the deal. He's going to seal the deal. I need a physical healing. I need an emotional touch. You know what? I believe there are people in this room today. We talked about cars and we talked about houses. I believe there's people in this room that can say, Pastor, you know what? I'm struggling a little bit financially. These are rough times, but I'm believing God. Come on, step out of your seat and let us agree with you that God's going to meet your physical and financial needs. Amen? He's going to do it. Praise the Lord. Physical, financial needs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just, come on, just let something come from your mouth right now. Come on. Just worship Him. Father, we exalt you. Come on, church. We exalt you today. We exalt you today, Lord God, as healer. We exalt you today. Jehovah Rapha is your name. Jehovah Rapha is your name, God. You're the healer. We exalt you today. Jehovah Peace. You are Shalom today, Lord. You are Shalom, Jehovah Peace. You are my refuge. You are my righteousness, God. Jehovah Sidkenu. Your name is Jehovah Sidkenu. You are our righteousness, Lord. And we bless you today. You're Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, Lord. We proclaim you today as the God of all provision. You release houses. You release land. You release cars. You release possessions, God. Touch your people, I pray, in the name of Jesus. You've been so good to us, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, worship Him. I'm going to sing of your goodness, Lord. Hallelujah. Shepalabora. Hallelujah. oh God. You've been so good, Lord.
So
He's been faithful, hasn't he? Come on. Faithful God. Diagnosis in my spirit. Somebody in this room has received a diagnosis. Maybe you haven't even told anybody, but the doctor has declared something over you. And I just believe today's your day of healing. Okay? You just step out in faith. Say, I don't know who I'm talking to. I have no idea, but I can't drop this. Okay? I'm just getting somebody's got a diagnosis. And it's concerning to you. And maybe you haven't talked a lot about it. Maybe you haven't said a lot about it. Just come on, just meet me here in faith today. Meet me here in faith. He's bigger. I hear the Lord say he's bigger than the doctor's diagnosis. He's bigger than that. Thank you, Lord. God just wants to touch you, that's all. He just wants to heal you. He just wants to heal you. Maybe it's something you've struggled with for a long time. And you know what happens sometimes? We say, well, I just guess it's going to be like that. Okay? I guess I'm always going to have this. I guess blood pressure is just a part of my life. No, it's not. My doctor put me on 3 medications 2 years ago, and I chose. I talked to Joy, and we talked about it. I didn't go back to him, but I chose. You know what I chose to do? I chose to stop taking all 3 of them. And I'm. Hey, don't you think I look good today? Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm not. My wife. God used my wife. She said, "I don't think you need to be taking that." I said, "You know what? Let me read about it." And I started reading about it. I said, "You know what? You're right. I'm not taking it." The doctor said, "You still taking so and so?" I said, "Nope, I'm not taking that." "Why'd you quit?" I said, "I just didn't think I should be taking it." Well, some people do that. That's all he said. Some people do that. Sorry you lost your kickback from the company there, you know. Sorry you lost your little bonus. Merry Christmas, okay? I just quit taking all 3 of them. I'm not going to take them. Now, I'm not telling you to quit taking your meds. I said the Lord was speaking to me, okay? Okay? But I believe in this room there's somebody that has a diagnosis that you're tired of and you really would like to get rid of it. Anybody? Come on. Anybody? Come on. Come on down. I believe today's your day of healing. Today's your day of healing. Jehovah Rapha is his name. Come on right here. Jehovah Rapha is his name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise for healing today. Today's the day of healing. Today's the day of healing. Today's the day of healing. Amen.
She came down already before and been diagnosed already. We prayed, but you can pray with her. We can pray with her.
Go ahead and pray for her again. Good to see you, my dear. Today's your healing day, okay? Lift your hands up. Let Pastor Bernie pray for you.
Our God and our Father, which art in heaven. Oh God, this young lady has come down before God and she asked for healing in her body, oh God, of arthritis, and the doctor diagnosis, the medicine's doing no good. But again, oh God, I remember the woman that touched the hem of your garment. God, it wasn't because she touched her garment, it was because of her faith. Oh God, hush about her God, I ask that you would touch her from the crown of her head to the very soles of her feet. Every pain that touches her body. Oh God, I pray you cast it out right now in Jesus' name. Oh God, we come believing, for the Bible says we have not because we ask not. 1 John 5 says that we have this confidence that when we come before you, God, that you hear our prayers, and God, you act according to your will. May your will be done in her body today. Oh God, we claim it right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. Listen, today's the day of healing, guys. If you're struggling with something, I'd be down here if I were you. Come on, if you're struggling with something in your body, all we're doing is giving the Holy Spirit room to minister healing to people, okay? To minister the healing to people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Come on, just keep singing that, would you? Just keep singing that. All my life, God, you've been faithful. All my life, God, you've been faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope. Praying about for so long. God says, I've always had it. I've got it. And I'm getting ready to break it down right before your very eyes, okay? So would you pray for her, Pastor Joy?
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, that this wall is broken down. Lord, it is coming down. We believe your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for this word over her. Lord, give encouragement, Father. Change coming, but Lord, you're going to give her strength for this change. You're going to give her power that's your power from within, and Lord, you're going to make change take place for your glory in Jesus' name, for her improvement, Lord, for relationships, Lord. It's going to change so much in her life, but Lord, we give you praise over it right now. We provide protection over her.
Simple word, but can I just tell you, the wall's coming down. Come on, it's coming down.
Oh, glorious Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place and your visitation in these lives, Lord. And this morning, Father, we just give you honor. We give you praise. How thankful we are for you and for what you have provided for us. Let us not wait another year to celebrate the intervention in our lives that you have made. Oh, we give you honor. We just give you honor. We thank you, Lord, for every prayer that's been answered and for hope restored in this house this morning. Let us be contagious, Lord, and take this everywhere we go. Let us share it with our neighbors, with our friends, with our loved ones, with our co-workers. And let us make a difference, kingdom difference, this week. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.